Praise the Lord. Let's continue our study, please, if you'd be so kind. We ended off talking about praying in the Spirit during a time of crisis. Do you remember that? And if you don't, then you have to watch the live stream. But that's what we ended up talking about. And I was telling you the story of Dad Hagin when he had the heart attack or the heart failure and how he was out of the will of God, but praying in the Spirit. I want you to notice that even though he was out of the will of God, and really he had opened the door to that attack, that didn't disqualify him from praying in the Holy Ghost to get an answer. You're not with me tonight.
Yes,
listen and respond.
Amen, amen.
Even though he made the mistake by getting out of the will of God, that did not, his guilt did not disqualify him from praying in the Holy Ghost to get an answer. So don't anybody think for a second, well, I've made the mistake. I got myself into this bind. I've got this problem. Really, I can't blame anybody but me. It was me. I know it was me. I might as well not blame anybody. It was me.
Yeah.
You still qualify to pray in the Holy Ghost and get an answer.
Amen.
That means that there's never a situation ever that we will face where we can't pray in the Holy Ghost and get an answer.
Amen.
Doesn't the word say in James, come to God that even when you haven't done everything right, when you lack wisdom, come to God and ask him and he will give it to you without finding fault. Praise God. Now, if you have blatant sin, you need to repent, because sometimes the wisdom of God won't come to you because you're in sin. And then it's not that he's not trying to find fault, but you're blocking that. What he's saying is you don't have to be perfect. As long as your heart's clean and you've repented from obvious things that you're aware of, even if you got yourself into that bind, even if you made a mistake to get yourself into that problem, and all of us, by the way, have. Even Brother Greg has made mistakes. Everybody, my beautiful wife has made mistakes. Very few, but she has. Very few today, I meant. But you have still. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter even if we got into it. Repent. Repent for what you did. That doesn't mean not finding fault, you don't have to repent. It means that you repent for it, but he's not going to say to you, you got yourself into this, get yourself out of this. That's what parents that don't know much about parenting say to their kids. No, we might have got ourselves in. He's forgiven us. He's not going to hold it to our account. If we'll pray in the Holy Ghost, he'll give us wisdom. What is wisdom? The mind of God. Wisdom is the mind of God, knowing what God thinks, knowing what God wants specifically for your future.
Amen.
And he will give that to you if you'll ask him. No matter what you've done, that's good news. We're not justifying making mistakes. What we're saying is don't ever come crying saying, I can't hear from God and it's my own fault. You can always hear from God. If you'll pray long enough in the Holy Ghost and just wait before him. Sometimes it requires just waiting. You know, a king is part of the honor of a king is that you just sit there and wait sometimes. The queen is not on your schedule, or we would say King Charles now is not on your schedule. You're on his schedule. If you get the privilege to go and meet him at Buckingham Palace, he's not there waiting in the room for you to show up. You sit there and wait till he's ready. That's part of royalty. Do you understand? God is greater than King Charles. He is in some ways waiting on us. You understand what I mean by that. But generally speaking, from a royalty perspective, we come into his presence and we wait before him until he's good and ready. But most Christians treat him like a McDonald's. We're putting our order in. We expect it in 5 minutes. And then we say, well, God doesn't speak to me. Well, maybe you need to wait for 3 months. 3 months? Yes, maybe you need to pray 3 hours a day for 3 months straight and then come talk to me if he's not talking to you. What I'm saying is our mindset is so McAnswer. We got the McFlurry. Now we want the McAnswer. And it doesn't work on the McDonald's schedule. Do you understand? Not that I have McFlurries at all. I don't. I mean, it's just not like that anymore for me. Shut up, shut up, shut up. I can read your thoughts. Jesus could read their thoughts. And I can read yours, brother. Okay. I just want to talk a little bit about interpreting tongues. Put up the third quote for me, the one that starts with in every crisis of life. I changed that. Please, would you put that up? Are you with me back there? Put up in every... Oh, my God, you're fast. Wow. Sometimes when I'm praying in tongues, I don't know a word that is said in English. Sometimes I'll interpret, and through the interpretation, that means you're speaking in tongues and you can pray. Remember 1 Corinthians 14 tells us, pray that you'd interpret. I think that's verse 15 or 14 of the same chapter. I'll get some light and some guidance, but most of the time, not so. just once in a while. So don't think that every time you're going to speak in other tongues that you're going to get that interpretation. Turn with me, if you don't mind, just so your eyes can fall upon it. I think it's good that your eyes actually see it. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. By the way, that's a wonderful chapter about all about basically tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. And very rarely is an entire chapter devoted to one subject. But 1 Corinthians 14 most certainly is. And if you'd look there with me in verse 15 and... 13, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret, or ask, supplicate. Just simply means ask God that you may interpret. But remember, the interpretation is one of the nine gifts. Okay, you don't believe me. Now have a look at, go back two chapters to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom by the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:8, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, wisdom is future, knowledge is present and past, to another faith, that special kind of faith, not your daily faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings. Why is there gifts of healings? Because there's many diseases and there's a gift for each one. That's why it's plural. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds. Divers is really not in there. It just says to another kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. So interpretation of tongues is listed as one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. You can't have it just because you decide it. You have it because he gives it to you.
Yes, sir.
Now, he is going to give it to you more often if you do 1 Corinthians 14, like I just read you, verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, listen, this speaking in the unknown tongue is not the tongues listed as the gift.
That's right.
This is just your regular tongues.
Yes.
Now, you can still interpret your regular tongues, but that still requires a gift. Now, the gift of tongues can come on you, and that is when that anointing comes on you, and you begin to speak forth, and you say, how do you tell the difference between that tongues and your regular tongues? Well, you're kind of get a bit skillful to know the difference. But if you pray in tongues a lot, and if you don't, then you're never going to be able to tell the difference. But if you pray in tongues a lot, anything that you do a lot of, you're going to get skillful and sensitive with. And if you pray in tongues a lot, And you get used to that regular tongues, what we would call simple tongues, your daily tongues. And then all of a sudden when you're praying, the gift of tongues comes on you, you'll be able to sense the difference. The gift of tongues comes on you, it's stronger. There's more force to it. There's more punch to it. There's a stronger anointing to it because it's a gift. It's not just the regular daily thing. But you're not going to be, if you never hardly pray in tongues at all, you're never going to be able to tell the feel or the touch, so to speak. When I used to train for badminton, when I was training very hard to get into the Olympic team, and there were certain shots that you had to do that is very, it's very a light touch, especially when you're doing drop shots and you're literally, the goal is to get that birdie to sit on top of the net and then roll over, because then they can't return that. And it's very hard to do that. It's almost impossible to do that. But you can get pretty close where it literally just goes, if this is the net, it just goes like that. But there's a certain touch to that. I had to repeat that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Hitting the ball, hitting the birdie, and then going and just touch that so it just goes over the net. You know how many times you have to repeat that to get that down? So that when you're in a match and the adrenaline is going and you're tired and the lactic acid is burning in your legs, you have to remember that touch when you're in the pressure, not just when you're in the calm, sterile environment of practice. That's why you have this muscle memory. That's why you have to practice it over and over hundreds of times so that in the moment where it's needed, you can actually do it. But you have to repeat it a lot to know the feel of what it feels like, what part of this racket to use, because you don't, even on the strings, you don't use certain parts of the racket for certain shots. Where are you positioned? What is your body? What is even the way your body is positioned affects that. Everything affects that shot. It's one of the hardest shots in that sport. And you got to do it hundreds of times to get that right. Well, the same with praying in the Holy Ghost. If you'll just pray hundreds of times, you know what I'm saying? Daily, you get so skillful at it. You get so sensitive to it. You get so familiar with your regular tongues, which will change, by the way, and that's not the gift. My tongues can change to more of an aggressive, kind of warring-like thing. Other times, more of a weeping kind thing. Other times, a soft. Other times, an inquisitive. Other times, it changes to different languages, languages of men. And I don't know what I'm saying, but I could almost guarantee I'm speaking in a certain human language. But if nobody there to tell me, like when Jenny you know, prayed in Arabic recently. Somebody was here to tell her. If nobody is there to tell you, then you don't know. But it sounds almost exactly, for me, God uses a lot of Native Indian. I'm telling you, like Lakota, I think is the language of the plains. I can almost speak perfect. I can tell. My tongues change, and I'm speaking like what I hear in movies. When you hear those Native Indian people speak, those First Nations people speak. I don't know why God does that. My God, sometimes that happens with my wife, but different languages. That's not the gift of tongues. That's just my tongues changing for different situations. But if you pray hundreds of times and you get so sensitive to it, you'll be able to tell even with the changing within your own tongues that they're still your tongues. Then when the gift comes, you'll be able to tell the difference. Yeah. That gift comes with force. That gift comes with a much stronger anointing. I can tell when those tongues and that gift comes. Praise God. Now I'll say something which I don't normally like to say on live stream because there's fruits, flakes, and nuts. Granola Christians all over the place. And I don't like to say this because people get weird with it. But I will tell you because I know you won't get weird with it. And don't ever try to do this. The Holy Ghost has to author this. Are you listening? But we're talking about this, so I'll just add a little bit that usually you won't hear from the pulpit. Although it's very true, and I've talked to other ministers, and it's happened to them as well. But they don't talk about it because people will get strange with it. You can actually, at times, as the Spirit of God inspires it, and you have to wait for Him to inspire it, you can speak to your angel in his language. But now don't get weird with that, because you can't author that. It's only happened about four or five times in my life, but that angel will show up beside me. It always only ever happens when I know he's there. And then the Holy Ghost will say, turn and speak. And I'll speak. My tongues change. Now, that's not the gift of tongues. My tongues change to a different sound that I've never heard. And I know, I know that I'm speaking to that angel in the language that he speaks. And I know when it's done. And I usually, without interpretation, which I'll talk about in a second, my mind will know the general gist of what I've just said to him without the interpretation of tongues. Now, if I had the interpretation of tongues, it would be telling me more specifically what I said. Just like we had a word for the interpretation gives, it's not a translation, but it's an interpretation, but it's still more specific than just a sense in your spirit. Your spirit can know to measure what you're praying. But that's not the interpretation. Now, don't pursue that with an angel. Don't ever do that because you can get in trouble. Okay, you don't talk to them. You can speak to them in your known language and release them. I'm just saying the Bible says there's scripture for that because it says, though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am nothing. Angels have languages. And if the Holy Ghost were to allow you to do that, which has only happened a handful of times, that is a supernatural experience. But it's not something I ask for. It's not something you can ask to interpret, but you can't ask to speak to your angel like that. You don't have scripture for that. Amen. There's a really cool video that Pastor Lekedic sent me of Dad Hagen and the prayer warrior lady. Was it Rachel or was it the other one?
I can't remember. Jeannie?
I think it was Jeannie. I think it was Jeannie. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But it was the most astonishing thing I've ever seen. He talks to her in tongues, and she responds in tongues. And they have a conversation in tongues. And he knew afterward, he knew exactly what she said, and she knew exactly what he said, and they talked in English and exchanged notes. How do you explain that? See, that's not by the gift of interpretation, because if it was, they would be speaking it in English. Now, those are unusual things of the Holy Ghost, but you can't just go, okay, let's try this, Greg. You can't do that. The Holy Ghost does sometimes unusual things like that, but that's not something that you pursue. Don't get too inquisitive about it. Don't let your mind wander and try to figure that out because you won't be able to. And how many times out of 70 years of preaching did that happen to Brother Hagin? Once or twice in 70 years. So it is not something that is a regular occurrence or something that he tried to mimic or happen over and over again. It was something God authored in a unique moment with two deep spiritual prayers, and they were communicating by the Spirit, but they would speak in tongues and they would know within their spirit what was being said to them. Just like I know what I'm saying to that angel without the interpretation of tongues. I don't know every word, but I know the gist of it. Do you understand? Now that can happen. I can be speaking, or my wife can be speaking, and I'll know what she's praying about in my spirit. Even though there's no interpretation, and I'll ask her afterward, you were praying about this. And she'll go, yeah, that's what I was praying. Because she knew in her spirit what the tongues were generally about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I picked it up because I'm close with her. Yeah. It's very interesting. There's a lot of things about that realm that we have not touched. And that we can talk about and be fascinated with a little bit and just want those manifestations but never pursue them. Yeah. Yeah. We pursue prayer. And if the Holy Ghost chooses to do more, he will. But he just wants us to get the basics and not worry about the higher echelons at this point. Do you understand? I'm just letting you know that there's some interesting things out there that you can, that kind of make your head, scratch your head a little bit. Amen. Because they're fascinating by the Holy Ghost. So he said, you don't always interpret. Okay. Some people think that everything that's said in tongues must be interpreted. And then they start speaking in the spirit or in tongues, but then they begin to interpret out of their soul because they think it has to be interpreted, and it doesn't have to be interpreted. They so badly want to, quote, pick something up with their mind. I'm speaking in other tongues. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit ultimately, but I'm speaking in other tongues, and I so badly want to know what I'm saying. I try. You see, you're initiating. That's the danger. You're initiating, so you start thinking in your mind, what could I be talking about? What could my spirit be talking about? See, that's a mental assessment. You start picking it up in your mind. That's dangerous. First of all, you're wrong. It's not what God is saying. Second of all, if you keep doing that, that's the soul realm. That's where devils operate, in the mind realm. They'll start to influence you if you keep that nonsense up. You don't do that. When it comes to the interpretation of tongues, it has to come up out of your spirit as the Spirit wills, out of your spirit. It's got to be a knowing that comes up out of your spirit. It's not something you're trying to figure out with your brain. So if you would be so kind, put up that next quote, please. The one I told you, Peter, earlier. Not everything has to be interpreted, Kenneth Hagin said, and not everything should be interpreted. Some things you don't need to know what you're saying. In fact, he said, most of the time I didn't have the, only sometimes, which means far more than 50%, you don't need to know what you're saying. You're just speaking unto God. You're speaking unto God. And that should be enough for you. Yeah. Tongues is such a living, precious language. It should be enough. It's such an honor to be able to pray in it. It should be just thrilling to your soul. You get to pray in it. Right. Not a burden, not a drudge, not a drudgery, not a chore, not a burden. It's a joy. I talked about that a couple Wednesday night lessons ago, about how it should be a privilege to stand on the word. Amen. And to use your faith. That's a privilege to use your faith. Yes. Not everybody even knows how to do that. We do. It's a privilege to pray in the Spirit. Yes, tongues are living words that continue on. Awesome. Once you stop, they keep moving in the spirit realm. They go directly to God the Father. I mean, you're talking to your Father in a language that only He understands. I mean, it almost sounds like a fairy tale. I mean, it is so otherworldly. No wonder the sinners think we're crazy. Yeah. Right? And it doesn't say you can't pray in other tongues in front of sinners. It says don't do the whole service in other tongues, because they won't be edified. Recently a pastor said to me, we don't pray in tongues out loud because sinners will think we're crazy. And I said, but that's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. Now, you can't do your whole service in tongues because they won't be edified. But the Bible says, if you read the Bible instead of just what your denomination tells you in the newsletter, why don't you read your own Bible? If you read your Bible, you will see that it clearly says tongues is a sign to the unbeliever, which means you are allowed to pray in tongues in a church service. And if an unbeliever is present, good. And if they think it's something unusual, good. And if they think it's something otherworldly, good. Remember I did that experiment? I picked the three worst sinners in customs. I mean the worst sinners in customs. I mean good, hardened sinners. These are adulterers, perverts. No, I mean it. They really are. And I picked the three worst ones, and because I was witnessing to them, and they were drawn to me because sinners are drawn to light. And they asked me for a sermon, and I guess in the sermon I had been speaking in other tongues, and I didn't know that was in there. I probably wouldn't have given them that one. And just, you know, sometimes we pray in the Spirit. There was no interpretation. And they said, what was that? They came back, what was that weird language you were praying? And I thought, oh. And I said, well, that's don't worry about that. No, tell me, what was that weird? That was a weird language. I didn't recognize it. I've never heard it. And I said, that's not a language that you can learn, or that's, you know, language from some African tribe or something. I said, that's what the Bible calls tongues. Oh, I heard heard about that thing, tongues. And I said, I didn't know that was in there, or I wouldn't have said. They said, all three of them, hardened good sinners. I mean, professional sinners. These aren't light sinners. This is not Coke, Diet Coke. This is full sugar Coke sinners. And all three of them said the same thing separately to each other. And they weren't beside each other when they said it. All individually, privately said to me, oh no, I'm glad you did. I found that fascinating. And I said, what did you find fascinating? This is their words. All three of them said the same thing and didn't know the other person said it. All three of them said the same thing. They said it was otherworldly. They said it seemed supernatural. They said it gave us a feeling that we don't normally feel. Like, almost like, and they went, ooh. Like, because, you know, that they don't know how to express supernatural things. And I said, were you scared? Is it like, ooh, like a haunted house scare? No, not scary, just unusual. Just made us realize that something, this is not mental. What is that? Tongues being a sign for the unbeliever. But if the whole thing was in tongues, nobody, you and them, wouldn't be edified. That's what Paul is saying. Don't take it into a ditch and do it extreme. But don't be embarrassed of tongues when you invite somebody to church. It's an evidence that we're a supernatural people. Yes. Okay, so not everything has to be interpreted. Not everything should be interpreted. Go to the next quote, please. You always want that unction in your spirit to interpret. You don't want to just try something or just force something if there isn't anything flowing out of your spirit. You hear that? It's got to be coming up. Now, that's that gift. That's a gift of interpretation, but it's got to be bubbling up. It's got to be coming up, not in your mind, up out of your spirit. When it's coming up out of your spirit, then interpret. But you'll find Dad Hagin is right. I'm telling you out of my own personal experience, the vast majority of times I pray in tongues, I do not interpret. 80%+ I do not interpret. And I pray in tongues more than most of you here. So I know what I'm talking about. I'm saying he is right when he says most of the time, not so. But occasionally, and don't forget to ask, because you're allowed to ask. If you don't ask, it won't happen as often. Occasionally, Holy Ghost, if it's up to you, sir, but if you'd like, I'd like to know a little bit what I'm saying. Then when I'm speaking, something will bubble up. And then I just yield to that and I speak it out. Do you understand? You got to speak it out by faith. And you don't have to understand the whole thing. Just speak out the first thing that you know and then more will come. You speak, then you speak in tongues, then speak again in English. And that's how you do it. You don't have to speak the whole thing in tongues, stop, and then do the whole interpretation. You could do that. Or you can speak a sentence and then speak it in English, and then speak another sentence and then speak it in English. But either way, it bubbles up. It bubbles up. It doesn't come out of here. It comes out of here. You got to know the difference. So you don't want to force it. That's the key word, not forcing it or trying something. See that? That's mental when you try something. Now, this is very important because I know some ministers in our circles, not Pastor Nancy, of course, but some other ministers in our circles who have been in our pulpit have a little bit of a different take. But I want you to take my take, not theirs, because it's the safer take. Amen. And Dad Hagin would say this. He would say, I've been in services where some ministers would say to somebody after they spoke in tongues, let's say Hortense gets up and speaks in tongues, and then the minister would say, interpret that. Now, let me quote you Kenneth E. Hagin. When somebody says that in a service, interpret that. This is what he said. That is ignorance gone deceived. That's ignorance gone into deception. Because what you're saying is you control the interpretation. And you don't control the interpretation. Do you understand? Now, the only caveat to that is this. If Pastor Nancy, for example, I've seen her do this with her son, because she flows with him from time to time. And I've done this with my wife. And I've seen Jay do this with Debbie Eberly. There's a caveat. That is, if one has spoken in tongues, let's say Jenny speaks, but I as the minister, the head minister of that service, the priest of that service, know by the Spirit she has the interpretation. Not me, not somebody else. She has it because God tells me she has it. Then I can say, interpret that. But it's not that what Dad Hagin is talking about. He's talking about just somebody is speaking and then just in the mental arena, go ahead and interpret that. You can't just say, go ahead and interpret that. Because then the person thinks that they can at will and they cannot at will. And there's churches, believe me, brothers and sisters, I won't tell you names, but there's entire churches and denominations that believe this. And they have prophecy services and tongue services. And everybody's praying in tongues. And then the pastor say, now you interpret that. Everybody interpret your own tongues. And then they're standing there trying to interpret out of their brain. And then they wonder why things are squirrely. You cannot choose the interpretation. That has to come up out of your spirit. So get it straight. And if anybody else tells you anything otherwise, they're wrong. I don't care who they are or how big their ministry they have, they're wrong. Because we go with the word on this. We don't go with people's extreme views. Okay. Praise God. He said, unless the Holy Ghost is giving the gift, you can't force it because you'll get into the soul arena. It will start with your own thoughts, but it will end with demons. So you just pray in the spirit. You can ask to interpret, but you don't force it. Just pray. Just pray. The goal is not interpretation. The goal is to speak in other tongues. Just pray and don't have that as your goal. Your mind is going to catch up eventually. The mystery you're praying out is going to be revealed eventually, assuming that you need to know it. You're going to catch up, but you don't need to know right then and there. Okay? So he would say most times he would not interpret. Sometimes he would, because it would come up out of his spirit to his mind, and then he would know it. Are you with me? Dad Hagen also said, this is what I wanted to get to, that your spirit knows certain things. Dad Hagen would teach that your spirit is searching your inner parts. Do you remember what the Bible says?
Yes.
The spirit of a man, Proverbs, yes. Is it candle of the Lord? Searching. What is searching? The spirit. What is searching? The candle. The candle is your spirit. That's the light of God inside you. It is searching the inward parts. Your spirit is searching your inward areas. Who else lives in the inward area with your spirit? The Holy Spirit's the only other resident there. It's the Holy Ghost and you, meaning your spirit. If the Holy Ghost is, if your spirit is searching the inward parts, your spirit is in contact with the Holy Spirit all the time. Your mind is not in contact, but your spirit is in contact, which means that your spirit will know things that your mind does not know about your future and about situations, because the Holy Ghost knows and your spirit is picking things up from the Holy Ghost. Yes. But your mind has not caught up yet. Do you understand? That's why he says your spirit is searching out the inner parts and often knows what you're praying about without the gift of interpretation. How do I know what she's praying about at times? Not every time. Don't get weird. How do I know what sometimes my wife is praying? How do I know what I'm praying sometimes without the gift of interpretation? How did Dad Hagen know what Jeannie was saying and what Jeannie knew what he was saying, even though they're speaking in other tongues and there's no interpretation? Because your spirit, you can train your spirit to be so sensitive that your spirit can pick up the gist of things without interpretation. But it's not the fullness as much as interpretation would give. It is a gist. It is a sense. It is a measure of knowing. But it's not as defined as the gift of the interpretation of tongues. But it's amazing. You can know certain things. Your spirit knows a lot more than what your brain knows. You with me? If you will learn to tap into your spirit, you'll know certain things. And there's a difference between knowing things about the future and having a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom if it's the future, or a word of knowledge. There's a difference. I can have a sense. I can have a sense when I'm driving that something's going to happen. That's not the word of wisdom. It's different. Now, how are you going to know the difference? You have to have hundreds of shots to become sensitive to the difference. Yeah. Sometimes my spirit, which is in connection with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit knows everything. My spirit knows a little bit, not everything, but he knows a little bit that my mind doesn't know. And I'll have a sense there's something wrong up ahead in this road. It's a sense. Really, it's what Paul, if you study, we don't have time, but if you study it, he said, I remember with the ship?
Yes.
He said, I perceive. Perceiving is not the word of wisdom. When it's the word of wisdom, it is a strong, forceful, anointed knowing. It is a gift. You can't deny it. You can't explain it. You just know that you know that you know this is going to happen. But perception is not a knowing like that. Perception is not a gift. It is a sense. But Paul perceived, he said, brethren, I perceive that there's going to be a storm. There's going to be loss of the ship, but not of lives. How did he know that? Because the Holy Ghost wasn't, it wasn't a word of knowledge. If it was a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, he would have said it differently. He wouldn't have used the word perceive. Perceive means there's a sense of something. How does he get that sense? See, this is scriptural. I have a scripture for this. Because his spirit is connected to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit knows a storm's coming. Well, why didn't the Holy Spirit just give him the word of wisdom? Because he didn't want to. Don't ask those questions. Don't ask why the Holy Ghost doesn't do something. You'll get in trouble. And don't ask why the Holy Ghost did do something. But why did he do that with Jeannie and Brad Hagin? Don't ask that question. That's none of your business why he did that. Why did Pastor Craig speak to his angel and the angel was angry? That's none of your business. Don't ask that question. You understand, when it comes to these types of levels of spirituality, you don't get an appetite for something and you don't question things. If you're spiritual, you won't. Because if you do, you'll start to stumble. You'll get in your mind. You'll start getting into false doctrine. You'll start trying to research it. Then you'll start trying to mimic it. And then all of that is going to lead you down a bad path. Are you with me? Your spirit knows things because the Holy Ghost knows everything. And he doesn't always have to give you the interpretation or a word of wisdom. Sometimes you just sense, you just have a perception. Learn to develop that perception. I know it sounds wild. It sounds wild, doesn't it? This is what the psychics don't understand. They're tapped into demonic power and have a life of torment. And they don't know if they just gave their life to Jesus, the mighty Holy Ghost on the inside of them would let them know certain things. And that's not ESP, extra sensory perception. That's HSP, Holy Spirit perception. So you could put on your resume, I have HSP. No, maybe you shouldn't do that. There is a Holy Ghost perception. And your spirit does know certain things. Hallelujah. I just think that is fascinating, Jenny.
It is.
He said, Dad Hagin said, you could know sometimes in general what you're praying about in tongues without the interpretation. In general. Not every time, but sometimes. Now, I don't go into tongues thinking, well, I need to know. I need to perceive. So I put my tinfoil hat on. I adjust the thing and I say, oh, yes, yes, yes. I perceive the offering is going to be big this week. That is a bunch of strange, weird garbage. I don't go in trying to perceive. I just pray. Don't think about these things as though they're the goal. You just pray. That's the goal. Just pray in tongues. Lord, if you like, I'd like to interpret. If it's up to you, it's up to you. Fine. If not, fine. And I just pray. If he gives me the interpretation, I will interpret that by the gift of the interpretation. If I have a perception, he'll show that to me. If I have a word of wisdom about the future or a word of knowledge about the present or past, he'll give that to me. I don't pursue any of that. I just pursue praying. Amen. And what else do I pursue? The inner witness. Do I have that velvety feeling on the inside? Do I have that cozy, warm feeling? Because that's how he's going to lead me most of the time, that just sense of knowing. Now listen, I know I'm getting into some different colors of the rainbow here, but I have to say this. The perception is different to the witness. The witness or the witness of the Spirit, the bearing of witness or the inner knowing is a knowing. I don't know how to explain it. I know that I know that I know that I know. Perception is far lighter. I sense. I perceive. It's not even as strong as the inner witness.
That's true. Yeah.
That's why you can't go with perception, because you'll make mistakes. You can make mistakes on perception.
So
Jenny will often hear me say, I sense this.
Yeah.
Now, I have a batting average of 80%. If I was in professional baseball, I'd be a millionaire. Their highest is about 40%. My batting average in the perception is about 80%. I don't use the word perception often, but it means the same thing. I use the word sense. And sometimes I'll say to my wife, I have a sense this is going to happen.
Right, right, right.
And then we'll just see if it happens.
Yeah.
But 8 times out of 10, it happens.
Yeah.
Now, that's a perception. It's not a knowing.
Right.
Other times I'll have a bearing of witness and I'll say, I know this is going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
And 100% it happens. Yeah. Do you understand?
Yeah.
other times, then that interpretation, which is a strong thing, then you know what you're saying. Other times it's a word of wisdom. You know what the future holds because it's strong. But that bearing of witness is different to perception. Perception is the lightest. But you can train your spirit to perceive much. And then as you get developed, you'll have that bearing of witness, which trumps the perception. But you're not led by the perception. You'd be led by the bearing of witness. So right now I'm facing some things that I'm praying about. I have a sense. That's my perception. But I can't make decisions on the perception. Now, Paul had a perception and he did make some decisions. Obviously, so maybe scripturally you can, but in my opinion, the perception is not as strong as the inward witness, and I can't make decisions that are big decisions that are going to affect this ministry significantly on a perception. I have to have the inward knowing, and I have to wait till the perception grows to the inner witness, or I don't move on it. Are you with me? But you can still kind of perceive some things as you get more spiritual with us. These are deeper things. These are deeper things, are they not? Hallelujah. Now, put up that next one. My spirit will know what the Holy Spirit is saying to my spirit, and my spirit will pass it on to my mind. This goes in line with, he said, you don't always need the interpretation. My spirit will know what the Holy Spirit is saying to my spirit to a measure. You don't know everything. And my spirit will pass that along to my mind. Passing it along to your mind is not the interpretation. That comes with force. It's not the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. That comes with force. It is a type of the leading or the inner witness, but he's talking about you can sense or perceive certain things. That's your spirit picking it up. Yeah. Praise God. I mean, you think that there's, I can almost guarantee you, there's not one church out of the 10,000 churches in Toronto that are teaching this tonight. I can almost guarantee you that. Because people just don't know it. They have not studied it. They do not know it. And the ones that do know it have turned away from it. Because it's not a popular subject to get people excited to teach on being led by the Spirit. But Kenneth Hagin said, and he's right, the most important thing you can teach a believer is how to be led by the Spirit. He didn't say faith. He didn't say the love walk. He said being led by the Spirit. Why? Because if you can learn to be led, no matter what problem you're in, the Holy Ghost can guide you out of that problem. Which is why this is the 9th Wednesday on the second study of this. Peter, do you remember how many we did on the first study? See, if you perceived that I was going to ask you that question, you'd have that answer ready for me. Praise God. Peter is learning. I'm kidding, Jessica. I'm going. Okay, let's move on while Peter looks up. How many? 12. What is 12 plus 9, Peter? You're a math whiz. 21. This is our 21st message on being led by the Spirit this year. There's only 52 weeks. So that's almost half the year. I've taught on this subject because God said, you're not done. They're not getting it. So I'm trying to help you get it. Hallelujah. But the blessing is I get more too. Every time I get more too. It helps me. Now, let's talk about fleeces. Not blankets, not that kind of fleece. But what is a fleece? Because I still hear people in our church talking about it. Oh, Jesus, help us now. Help me not climb across those chairs to get them, Lord. Help me not be a Joel Siegel and throw my water bottle at somebody. Help me. I still hear people in our church talking about it. So for once and for all, would you just get this settled? We get fleeces from our brother Gideon. I'm not reading you the story, but I'll just quote it to you. Gideon says, I don't know if you're really going to want me to do this. Because it's a pretty big decision and it could cost me my life. So I'm going to put a fleece, which is just basically sheepskin. I'm going to put it on the ground, and if it's wet and the ground around it is dry, then I'll know you've led me. And that happened. Then he said, no, that could be coincidence. So I'm going to put the fleece back. Now I want the fleece wet and everything else dry. And it happened. Then he said, well, that's I know this is your will. So I'm going to move ahead. And it was God's will. Other times they would cast lots. This is not bingo, but it's Holy Ghost bingo of the Old Testament. And they would do these things, and it would break down the numbers until one tribe was picked, and then one family was picked, and then one person was picked. Do you understand? And that was another way of kind of like a fleece. but not really, but kind of the same. Then they would have Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
No, not Uma Thurman. That's the wrong. That's the wrong thing. I'm sorry. Holy Ghost. Not Uma Thurman. No, not her. She wasn't alive. But the, what's it called? Jenny, what's it called? Uman, what's it?
Oh,
Uma?
Uman and Thuman.
Now listen, this is not a joke. This is where you can read it in your Bible. These are two stones. The priests had these special, like, not magical, but they were like supernatural stones. And one was called Uma, and the other one was called Thurman. or something like that. Something similar. I don't exactly know what they're called, but we'll just call it Uma Thurman, okay? And literally, light would shine out of these stones. And God would guide. No, don't, Gloria, don't look it up. I don't need you to tell me. We're just going to stay with Uma Thurman, okay? But God, literally, light would shine out of these stones. And that's what really went. Remember when he was picking David versus his brothers? The prophet brought out Uma Thurman. Oh, no, that is wrong. I repent. No, Uman and Thurman, whatever the name is. Cumin and Thurman? Okay. He brought out stone one and stone two. Can we just leave it at that? Because I can see we're getting into a ditch. It's okay, guys. You can laugh a little bit. If Jesus was here, he'd be laughing. Believe me. I have a good joke. I'll tell you at the end. Okay. I have a very good joke. But anyway. But he brought out those stones. And when basically light would shine out of the stones. Supernatural light would shine out of the stones. And if the light shone, God was saying, I'm picking that person. And there was no light shining on any of the other sons except when David came. So that's biblical. Now, why did they have fleeces, the stone one and stone two, casting of lots? Why did they have all of that? Because the Holy Ghost didn't live inside them. Now, do you remember at times God would speak to them? David said, should I go up against them? And he heard the mulberry trees, and God said, go up. So sometimes there was an audible voice. Yeah. Many times there was an audible voice. When he was in the cave, there was a still small voice, but it was still a voice. Yeah. So unless God was going to speak to them or speak through a prophet to the person, they would have to rely on these other things that God would do supernaturally to guide them. Why? Because the Spirit did not indwell them. Why do we never use fleeces in the New Testament or stone one and two or casting of lots or anything like that? Why do we never do it? Ever do it. Yet people in this church still do it. Because you've got the Holy Ghost, and it insults the Holy Ghost when you go to a lesser measure instead of him. And you'll make mistakes with the lesser measure. Because the devil is in this realm. He can manipulate things, even supernaturally, to cause it to turn out the way he wants it to turn out for you, so you get off course. But he cannot manipulate the inner witness. Why? Because it comes out of your spirit. He can manipulate dreams. He can manipulate prophetic words, because a minister could miss it. You could miss the interpretation of your own tongues. He can manipulate almost everything else. Except the inner witness. Why? Because the inner witness comes out of your spirit and it is sealed by the blood of Jesus, and no foul thing, demonic thing, or flesh thing can get in. So whatever is coming out of your spirit is 100% every time pure. It's the only thing that is 100% right every time. That's why we are led by that first, not anything else. You could even read the word and have your own weird interpretation of the word and say, well, I'm being led by the word, but your interpretation is wrong. The inner witness is the only thing that is guaranteed. And fleeces are never used in the New Testament because you don't need it when you've got the Holy Ghost. It's amazing how people still, you say, but Pastor, really? People actually put out blankets in their backyard? It says if it snows on the blanket, it's your will. And if it doesn't snow, no, I'm not talking about that. I mean, if you do that, you're even more weird than I thought. But I'm talking about fleeces of a different kind, which I'll get that. But I want to read you this quote. It's awfully dangerous for a New Testament spirit-filled Christian to put out fleeces. Notice he said dangerous. He didn't just say inadvised or stupid. He said dangerous. The most dangerous thing in the world to do. For the simple reason that you see this fleece business is in the realm where Satan is God. He is the God of this world. If you don't believe me, believe Kenneth E. Hagin. He is the God of this world. It was permitted in the old, but it is not permitted in the new. You don't find one New Testament example of it. The only reason they would ever put out a fleece is because they're ignorant of their New Testament Christians. The only reason you'd ever put one is because you're ignorant of your spirit or you're too lazy to check your spirit by prayer, or because you're an unrepentant sin and God won't speak to you, so now you're trying to go to your soul realm. You might as well call the psychic network. Now don't, because I'd rather you put a fleece than call the psychic network, because at least the fleece, you might, you're still stupid, but you know it may not be full out demonic. You call them, you open the door to devils. But I'm saying both of them are wrong. This fleece business, I like the way he called it, this fleece business is the most dangerous thing in the world. Yes, Lorna. Most dangerous thing in the world. Now, put on the next quote. This, I love this one. He said, after I put out a fleece, it backfired on me. The only time I ever got fleeced is when I put out a fleece. Is there anything more in that quote? No. Is there anything more in that? Because there was more in my notes. Maybe it didn't go through to you. Let me just keep reading it. That's not the end of the quote. The rest of the time, I just prayed and waited on God until I got an inward witness, until I knew on the inside of me what to do. And I followed that and never missed it anymore. Then I never made another mistake. Never made another mistake. Fleeces are for lazy Christians who don't want to take the time to pray and fast and wait on God and seek God to get the answers out of their spirit. A fleece is a quick fix. And it's rolling the dice. You're going to miss it as much as you gain. It's like playing in the slots. And then you're trying to say that was God. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Dad Hagin had been pastoring for 2 years from 1939 to 1941, and another church asked him to come, so he put a fleece out, only time he ever did it. Put a fleece out and said, Lord, if they vote me in at 100%, because back then everybody had to vote, and if I get 100%, which was very rare, for every single person in the church to agree on the pastor, usually it was a majority. It's very rare to get 100%. But he said, if they get 100%, then I'll take it as your will. But that's a fleece. Are you listening to me? Some of you need to repent. Lord, if I go to that interview and they offer me 5,000 more than what it says on paper, I'll take it that that's your will. You just fleeced. Lord, I'm going to date that person, and if they say they want 3 children, I'm going to take that as your will. No, listen, guys, I know you're laughing, but people in this church have done these things. Anything that you put a condition on, Lord, if you do this, Or work it out so that this happens, then I'll take it as your will. Anything like that. Doesn't have to be a blanket out in the snow like Gideon. It could be a job. It could be a spouse. It could be anything, buying a house. Yes. Lord, if they drop the price by $40,000, then I'll know that's your will. You're a bunch of fleecers. Now listen, the devil controls that realm. He can make it so that they drop the price by $40,000. You say, why would he do that to bless you? Well, let me tell you a story. I wanted to go to Peru. I said, God, I think you want me to go to Peru. I didn't know how to be led by the Spirit back then. This is in 2005, the year Quinn was born. We had done language training. We could speak marginal Spanish, Espanol. Marginal. I can't remember it now, but I used to know it pretty good back then. I could carry a conversation with my instructor. So could Jenny. And I came home and I said, now, Lord, I believe we're supposed to go. Now, listen, I didn't mean to put out a fleece, but I did. Even back then, I know you shouldn't put out fleeces, but I got confused that what I was doing was actually a fleece. And I said, so, Lord, because I believe this is your will, cause all the money to come. What am I saying? If the money comes, it will confirm to me that it's your will. All the money came. And more. money was coming in the mail like popcorn. Everywhere I'd go to preach, the pastor would have a prophecy. Not everywhere, that's not true. But occasionally, the pastor would say, "Thus saith the Lord, yea, and again I say yea." And he would give me a prophecy about Peru. Wow. And the only one that disagreed with all the prophecies was my pastor, Dr. Coulter. And I would go and say, "Well, doctor, how's everything going?" "Well, all the money's coming in. I got prophecies to confirm. I'm just thrilled and tickled pink." And he'd say, "Are you sure?" I say, "But I didn't know the signs like I know tonight. Now I know if a pastor says it to you, you'd be a stinking fool to not go and pray. If I ever say to you, 'Are you sure?' what I'm really saying to you is, you're wrong. But I'm too polite to tell you. That's what I'm saying to you. Because I know something that you don't know." "Well, who do you think you are?" "I think I'm your pastor. That's who I think I am. And I'm not going to force it on you, but I know things because of that divine authority. Other people may not know, but I know things." And so he knew things, but nobody had taught me. Dr. Frayne wasn't in my life. Nobody taught me about that office. So I didn't respect that office the way I should have. I didn't honor and revere it the way I should have. Not the man, although we love the person, but I'm talking about the office. What Paul says in Acts 13, "I magnify my office." Sorry, 1 Corinthians, "I magnify my office." So he's not magnifying him, he's magnifying the power of the office. Because that comes from God. And so he said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Of course I'm sure. Maybe you should go pray about it." "I don't need to pray about it. Pastor, all the money's coming in." Yeah. I mean, if the money wasn't God's will, the money wouldn't be coming in. Wow. And he said, "The devil can bring you money, son." I said, "I never heard anybody say that to me before." I said, "Why would the devil bless me?" I didn't believe him. I dismissed what he said. Trotted on off. Let's get packed. Until finally, Jenny said, "No, something's wrong. You're just emotional. You'd have a baby. You got all these hormones going on, and it's hard when you're your first baby." And he was hard. He screamed all the time. No, he put us through the ringer. And there's just pressure. There's pressure financially on us. There's pressure with a new baby. There's just a lot of pressure. Everywhere we look, there's pressure. And yet I just want to go to the jungles. Just let me loose on the jungles. I'm going to win tribes for Jesus. My heart was right. The money was coming in. The prophecies confirmed. And I felt good. But you see, what I thought I felt good here, I really felt good here. Why? It took me 3 months praying and partial fasting. Because I was so entrenched in my mental arena, it took that long for God to get me out. That's how entrenched I was. And Jenny knew that it was out of the will of God, and she knew our life would be in danger. Yeah. You get out of the will of God and you go to a dangerous country, you'll die. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so she said to me at one point, she said, "I love you. I'm in covenant with you. I'll stay married to you. But if you go, you go alone. You can go and come back and visit me. But I'm not leaving. I know in here there's danger. There's a flashing red light. This is not just a little light. This is a big flashing light." And I'm thinking, how could you get that and I don't get that? I'm the boss. I'm the minister. I'm the one who's the reverend. You're not a reverend. Do you have a reverend card? I have a reverend card. You see, don't matter about your stupid cards and how long you've been preaching. Or, you know, you can get so proud. So she just said, "Just go pray. Just go pray. The Lord needs to lead you." I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. "The Lord needs to lead you. Just go pray." Okay, fine, I'll pray. But I went into prayer saying, "I know I'm right." So that's why it took 3 months. Because if I went into prayer saying, "Lord, truly, I don't know," it would have probably been a week. But I went in there saying, "Lord, correct her." No, I did. "Lord, she is wrong. You know, me and you are going to get tribes born again. She is the blockage here. Now, you need to deal with that." Because Dr. Dufresne, I knew about Dr. Dufresne, but I didn't know him yet. He said, "If you're blocked to the blockage of the anointing will bust you." So I said, "Lord, I don't want to bust her, but maybe the anointing should, I don't know, do something. Because I'm right, she's wrong. We both know that." So for the first long time, that was my attitude. Sure, I prayed. But I prayed with the attitude, "I know I'm right." You can pray with that attitude, you're never going to hear God. She didn't change. The Rock of Gibraltar, the never changing one. The same yesterday, today, and forever is my wife. And after about 2 months, I realized if I do this, I'm going to affect the marriage. I'm not going to be by my child because she won't come. And so maybe, okay, she couldn't be right. But let's, for the sake of argument, say that she might be. That's how I swallowed it. She isn't. We all know that. But let's, for the sake of argument, say she could, by some infinitesimal chance, be right. See, it took me 2 months to get to that point because I was so filled with pride. But God found that little crack. He'll use the little crack that he needs to, even if you're full of pride, but you give him one bit of humility, he'll come in through that humility. And he spoke to me and he said, you're trying to, and I said, I'm not mad at you. He said, you're trying to imitate David Hogan. He said, he's your hero. And because he ministers to the tribes in the jungle in Mexico, you want to also, to a Spanish group of people, minister in the jungle. And Peru seems like a good fit because you know a Rhema person down there and blah, 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 blah. And he said, you're trying to mimic your mentor, one of your mentors. And he said, I understand. He said he was kind to me. He's because he knew I would be heartbroken. And he said, I'm not mad at you, but your wife is right. Man, that came as a shock. I'll tell you that. I remember where I was. I was up in those badlands on an old baseline road, those little red hills that they've now blocked off. You have to pay. And I went way back into the red hills and I had a cart, a little rug, and I was sitting on the rug because it gets you all red. And I was just praying and fasting that whole day, way back in the, where nobody could see me. And he said to me on those little red dunes, I heard his voice and he said, she's right. You're wrong. That was a shock to me. That was like the sun stood still for Joshua. I mean, this is a reversal of the natural order of things. This is an intervention into the ordinary course of nature. My wife is right and I'm wrong, Jessica? And I said, are you kidding me? And she says, no, but I'm not mad at you. I know why you want to do this. I know your heart is willing to suffer. Living in the jungle is suffering. And I already had decided that we'd never own a home. I already decided that I'd never own a suit. No, I'd already made those decisions. No, but you got to understand, I had already decided I'm never going to own a home. I'm never going to probably own a car, maybe a car, but the ministry will own it, not me. And I'm never going to own a suit because it's not about money. It's about winning souls. And nobody wants to go to the jungles, but I'll go. My heart was right. My heart was pure. But I was trying to imitate somebody that wasn't God's plan for my life. Don't matter how much you want to do good. What matters is God's plan for your life and being led by the Spirit into that plan. Nobility is not enough. You've got to have the perfect will of God, not just have a noble heart. Do you understand? And it took me about a month after he said that to me for me to finally get this, that she's right, you're wrong, your heart is right, but you're going to make a mistake. And he said, if you don't obey me and her, you will end up on the ash heap of ministry. He didn't say the rubbish heap. He said ash heap. Why? Because when something's burned to nothing, there's ashes. He said, you're going to be burned to the crisp. Everything is going to fail in your life. Everything. Everything will fail. And you'll be on the ash heap of ministry. And it was heartbreaking to give that up. Because I had, you don't understand, I had the money. It's hard enough to raise money, let alone now to give it back. Do you remember, Verley? We had the money. We had set up a P.O. box. Checks were coming. Prophecies were coming. Everything felt good in my brain. But finally, when I finally learned what that felt like, I thought, oh, that's the peace, not this. That's what I'm looking for. That's what she understood more than me because she had studied Dad Hagen and I hadn't. You listening? So then I repented to her. We started sending money back.
But you know why? Because I would pray in tongues.
You would pray in tongues. Yes. Yes, I would have the motorcycle and I would say, I'm going to pray. But really, I was going to explore because I'm an exploratory kind of guy. I know the time is gone. But so she would go and walk because she didn't want to ride the motorcycle. Remember, she's pregnant. Remember, we had to go up the hill and I had to get off and push the motorcycle, the scooter up the hill because it's not very powerful. And, you know, she's 9-8 months pregnant. And the hill is like more than 45 degrees. It's dangerous enough. Anyway, so she didn't want to go on that motorcycle, that little scooter. So I went, and I went everywhere. I mean, I drove miles, man. And I'd drive, and then I'd practice my Spanish, and I'd stop, and I'd start to talk, and then I'd buy something, and I'd try to barter. That was my thing. If I could barter, then it means I was perfecting the language, because they're all talking slang, right? So this is my excuse was, I'm practicing my Spanish. But then as I drive, I'd also pray in the Holy Ghost. But I was more just looking for terrorists and guerrillas, and I wasn't really that much praying in the Holy Ghost. I just wanted to stay safe. But she would go and walk around that town square. That town square was bigger than the sanctuary, and she would just walk in a circle around that square. Everybody's there shopping and stuff, and she'd just pray in the Holy Ghost. She'd do that for hours every day while I explored. hours for every day. Praying a little bit, but she's really praying. Then it started coming up. You see, if you pray in tongues long enough, it will start to come up. Maybe not an hour, maybe not 10 hours, maybe not 100 hours, but you pray 500 hours, something's going to come up. Most people aren't willing to pay. They'd rather make a mistake than pay that price of prayer. I'm talking about if you want to be led by the Spirit, you got to pray. You got to have a lifestyle of prayer. Till finally it started coming up, but I wouldn't listen to her because she's pregnant with hormones. Quinn hasn't been born yet. Then when she had the baby, I said, you're even more hormonal because now the baby's out. You see, because that's mental assessment. See, I'm not looking to my spirit. And Jenny's brave. Jenny would go and live in the jungles if God wanted her to. She's not opposed to that. She just wants, what is God's plan? What is God's will? I want to be led. I don't just want to do something noble. I want to be led. If I'm led into it, we're safe. But if we're not led into it, we're taking our life into our hands and then taking a little baby with us. Thank God for the leading of the Holy Ghost, but it took a lot of tongues to get there. That's one key. It took a lot of humility for me to finally pray without thinking I knew it. I'm giving you little nuggets, whether you realize it or not. And then finally, to submit to that, to agree that I missed it, to tell the people that gave us money I have to give it back because I missed it. That's embarrassing. And then to go back and tell Pastor Coulter, I mean, he loved that meeting. But I didn't. What do you want to, how you, when are you leaving for Peru? I'm not. Why? Because God told me that. And he said, he didn't let me down easy. You know, Dr. Goldberg. He said, oh, so what I've been saying for the last year was right and you were wrong. Oh, so me and your wife were right, you were wrong. Oh, so he kept rubbing salt in the wound. And he has every right to do that. We deserved it. And then he said, so finally you're going to yield to the Holy Ghost. And I said, yeah, I'm going to yield. He said, do you give the money back? Yeah, I'll give the money back. He says, so what are you going to do next? Whatever God tells me and probably whatever you tell me. And he said, come work for me. And I thought, I don't want to be an associate pastor anymore. Like, I don't know. I've done that. I've done, been there, done that. I'm not interested. And the Holy Ghost said, obey him. And then he told me why, he told me how long, and it was glorious and wonderful. And then the time came, we left. That was even more glorious and wonderful to leave. And then we started our church, and everything I said, I'm not pastoring, I'm not starting from scratch, and I'm not doing it in Canada. And he said, pastor, and do it from scratch, and do it in Mississauga. And here we are today. But all of that came out. All of that came out of walking a square, hundreds of hours praying in the Holy Ghost. Thinking when she started that we're in the perfect will of God. And something else is coming up that she's like, this doesn't feel like the perfect will of God. This feels like a sick feeling. I can't tell my husband. He's out having fun on the scooter. And even though, listen to this, even though we're in a third world country, out of the will of God, because we weren't supposed to be there, language training. Do you understand what I'm saying? We missed it even being there. And we're going on the most dangerous road in all of five Central American countries. Where the cartels decapitate gringos every week and put their head in the street. And the old grannies would shake their heads at us and just stop and stare at us. And every time I'd be like, well, why are they staring, honey? I don't know, maybe it's the yellow helmets. So we took the yellow helmets off and they still stared at us. And they would stop sweeping and just stare at us and go, like that look of almost like, you better leave. And I just waved to them. No idea. And on the way to the airport, the head of the Church of God who lived in Guatemala City, who was over all five countries, said to us, asked us where we got our food and how we went. And we said, well, we got it at this place. How did you get there? We went over the mountain. We went down. He said, no, you didn't go down over the mountain, did you? I said, yeah, we went over the mountain, that big steep mountain. And we went, drove through that three towns, and then we got to the Ypres Pais. That's the name of the grocery store. And he goes, you went through that, remember that, Jenny? You went through that town? I said, yes, what's wrong with that town? He says, you drove a scooter through that town. How often did you do that? Every week. For 3 months. And he went white. He said, the vehicle that we're sitting in is bulletproof and RPG proof. If they fire an RPG, that rig can take it. A $250,000 car, because it's so dangerous there, and the cartels will kill you. He said, I won't let my wife drive this rig through that town. That is the most dangerous street in five countries. And he started telling me statistics. And he started telling me the cartels that lived in that town. And he started telling me the lookouts. They have lookouts with cell phones. When they see somebody coming, they call. Then they block the road. Then they cut your head off. And here's Craig and pregnant Jenny on the yellow motorcycle, the yellow scooter, not even a motorcycle, a scooter, to make it more pathetic. I don't know if God blinded the lookout's eyes. I don't know what happened, but he did that. Now listen, we were out of the perfect will of God that entire time. And yet the divine protection operated. Why? Because in our conscience, we believed we were in the perfect will. You can be out of the will of God, but just because you believe you are, he will credit it to you.
Yes. Yeah.
To some measure. But as soon as knowledge comes, you're done. But he didn't give us knowledge because he knew we'd get killed. Are you listening to me? He didn't tell us until we got home. Because at that point, we would have probably not really believed it or whatever, and we would have died. So in his mercy, he kept us ignorant so he could protect us in ignorance. As soon as we got home, he got it over to her. You're not going. Then it took me 3 months, you're not going. And then finally we obeyed God and did the plan of God. But I'm talking about being led by the Spirit, and I'm talking about that you don't put a fleece. Yeah. Me saying, well, if all the money comes in, then obviously this is your plan. Right. That was a fleece. Yeah. My entire decision was predicated on a fleece. Wow. And I didn't even really acknowledge or realize I had done it. Yeah. So don't ever make decisions like, if you do this, then it's this. Yeah. Never. Lord, if I have the bearing of witness, I'll do it.
Amen.
Not if I have a prophetic word.
Yeah.
Not if I get a revelation from Scripture.
Yes.
Are you listening to me? I'm trying to protect you.
Oh, yeah.
None of that counts. Inner witness.
Yes.
Now, you can have the others in conjunction with an inner witness, but you can't have the others alone.
That's right.
I never take a Scripture without the inner witness. Mm-hmm. Even though it's God's word, my interpretation of it could be off. I never take a dream. I never take a prophecy. I never take a vision. I never take anything like that without an inner witness. I can have the inner witness alone, but if I'm going to have something else that's more dramatic, it has to also be with the inner witness. Then I've got two things, then I move. But I never do that with a fleece. Or with, if you do this, then it must mean this. Don't ever, ever do that. You'll get fleeced. We almost lost our ministry. We almost lost our lives because we put out a fleece. Long explanation for an important principle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry for going a little bit long, but I just felt that is such an important story about a fleece that would have affected our whole life, and none of you would be sitting here without if I'd listened to the fleece. We don't listen to fleeces. We don't listen to Umim and Thummim or whatever. We don't listen to lots. We don't listen to dice. We don't listen to any kind of mumbo jumbo. We don't listen to any of that. We listen to this. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power of the inward witness of the Holy Ghost. The many other ways you speak to us that all work with the inner witness of the Holy Ghost. We thank you that the people are learning. Lord, those that are fleecy people here that need to put their fleece in the closet and never take it out again. Let them do that tonight. Let them burn their fleece. Let them burn them in Jesus' name. Father, let us just make a decision. We're never doing that nonsense again. That business will get us fleeced. It will cause us to make bad decisions because the devil can manipulate that realm. But I thank you in Jesus' name. As I started in the beginning, and I say it again because the Holy Ghost keeps saying it to me, so obviously somebody needs to hear it. Lord, even when we've made a mistake, even when we've got ourselves into a bind, Lord, the mercy of God will get us out. Even when we made a mistake being in Guatemala, the mercy of God got us out. Lord, because you'll never find fault if we humble ourselves before you and pray in the Holy Ghost. I thank you that whoever that's for tonight, whoever that is for, somebody there, you've been beating yourself up saying, well, I don't know if I deserve it because I think I bought this on myself. That doesn't matter. You still qualify.
Amen.
Dad Hagen still qualified by praying in tongues, even though he opened the door with that heart issue. We still qualified for the leading and the protection of the Holy Ghost, even though we opened the door by being in the wrong country at the wrong time. God is merciful. Don't keep making the mistake, but now cut yourself some slack. Fall upon the mercies of God, and he will still help you and get you out of that issue. We give you praise and glory. Thank you that we're learning how to be led by the Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen.